just have it written down wrong. There is Luke chapter number 3. So I think we should seek after God every day. I also think that there is a good time to set aside specific seasons to giving even greater attention, focusing, concentrating on seeking after God. Extended times of prayer and Bible reading to consecrate and consecrate ourselves and concentrate our petitions. And tonight we're going to look a little bit at that. On last Friday night, I was at what they call Youth Congress, and the speaker challenged our young people to have a 40-day challenge of seeking after the Lord. And he talked a little bit about the differences, different times that number 40 is used in the Bible. Number 40 is often associated with seasons of proving or testing. Think about some of those 40 numbers. The worldwide flood, at least the raining, lasted 40 days and 40 nights. Moses was on the backside of the desert for 40 years. He also met with God on Mount Sinai for 40 days. The children of Israel spied out the land for 40 days and then spent 40 years for each one of those days in the wilderness. Goliath taunted the army of God for 40 days. Elijah went for 40 days without food and water at God's direction. He even talked about how Ezekiel was asked to lay upon his right side for 40 days as an object lesson to God's people. Jonah also spent 40 days preaching to the people of Nineveh. Jesus spent 40 days being tempted, the devil in the wilderness. He also spent 40 days with his disciples after his resurrection. And so as I was getting some materials, I know there's some notebooks back there, and I'm going to help you understand what the notebook is. I know some of you were wanting to know what it was, because some people have to know exactly what's going on. Some people even went and looked at it without even, you know. So I said to somebody, "What are you doing?" They said, "I'm just looking at it." And I said, "It didn't really matter." But some people just have to know, and I guess I probably would be one of those people too. But I was trying to get some materials together to help the young people with their 40-day challenge, and the Lord laid upon my heart to take part of the 40-day challenge, but then also laid upon my heart to talk to you a little bit about it and encourage all of us to be part of what is considered a 40-day challenge of seeking the Lord. So we know how camp works sometimes with their young people and their teenagers, is they go and they get set apart and they get around what hopefully good people and good other Christian people, young people that want to serve the Lord, and they get taken from some of their worldly distractions. You know, sometimes they can't watch whatever TV they want, they can't listen to whatever music they want, they can't be on their cell phones texting whoever they want, which is still a trial for some of them. You know, to have to give up their cell phone for a week is really, really hard for some of them. You know, all those different things, but it's to kind of minimize and quiet the voices that are around from them so they can hear from God. And when they're there, many times they make decisions for the Lord, and they make decisions that they want to serve God. And then they come back home, and sometimes they're put inside the same routines, and they don't make changes in their lives, and they fall back from those decisions. Not always, but many times. And you say, well, was it even worth it? And I always say, yes. Anytime you can get alone and let God speak to your heart is a huge benefit. You're giving people the opportunity and the option to let God work in their heart and work in their lives. But that's the reason why I was going to take, and that's the reason why I'm trying to give them some resources that's inside the little notebook to help them stay faithful for the 40 days. And then I began thinking that most people think, hey, this is a good thing. Young people really need that. And then I look across the room and I think, old people need it too. So I wish there was a camp for old people too. And there are different places you can go. And sometimes I go to conferences, and sometimes I go to different spots that do something similar. They don't take your cell phones away. I don't know if I could live without my cell phone. But they, you know, obviously the restrictions aren't there, even though some of us could use those restrictions. And God speaks through our hearts. I think when we put forth effort, God will speak to you. I don't know how many times in my life that as I seek after the Lord and the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart, it changes my life. And so that's what I want to encourage you. I want to look at some different things tonight And I want to challenge you to, for the next 40 days, to spend some extra time seeking the Lord. And I remember the first time when someone challenged me to record how long I take reading my Bible and praying. The first thing I said, oh, it's not about how much time you do. That's ridiculous. But then as I began to write down how long, I timed myself how long I spent in prayer, it began to work in my heart and mind. You know, I think I'm a prayer warrior. It's hours. But when it's written down on paper that, hey, look, it really wasn't that long. How much time I spent reading my Bible, and I see the passages of scriptures that I wrote down. And that's what this does. It gives you 40 different pages, exact same page, but it gives you not a diary, because guys don't write diaries, right? And that's girly stuff. You know, we journal stuff. We don't diary stuff. But it gives you inside a little book if you want to do it. It gives you something that says today's scripture. It talks the Bible, scripture reading. It gives you a verse that you can meditate or memorize. Now, we know young people can memorize a verse a day. That's not hard for them. For us old people, it's a little bit more of a challenge. And then the time spent in the Word today. And, you know, when you do that, there might be three different times. Same thing with prayer. It begins with praises, talks about spiritual requests, physical requests, and then time spent in prayer. I know some people say, well, I think that's just you're doing it for the wrong. It's to help show you something about yourself. It's helped to teach you something about yourself. When we think that we're giving God first place and we spend a half hour in spiritual disciplines, but we can spend hours doing entertainment. Now, I'm not talking about work, because I know we all got to work. I get that. But we can spend 10 minutes reading a chapter or two or three chapters of the Bible, but we can spend an hour reading something online. There's something that's wrong there. And so I'm just saying, for 40 days, keep track of what you've done, and then just be honest with yourself. Before God, talk to these things. And on here, it talks about responses, what God spoke to my heart about while prayer and Bible reading. One of the most effective things I learned how to do, and I think the Holy Spirit did, because I always get distracted when I pray. I get a notebook, and I have a pen and a paper there, and when God's speaking to my heart, I write things down. He reminds me of things. The devil will try to remind me of things I have to do. And sometimes I still pin those things down, but I get it out of my mind. And when you're trying to be alone with God, but how did God speak to me? And then there's actions. The things I need to do today in response to what God spoke to my heart about. You know, is it giving something up for the day? Is it passing out a Bible track? Is it being kind to someone? Is it contacting somebody? Is it asking for forgiveness? You know, when we spend time in the Word of God, when we spend time in the Bible, it's something that God wants to speak to us. Now, sometimes it can become so ritualistic that we just read the words and we do not let it affect our hearts. We don't let it affect our minds. But I want to challenge you for the next 40 days to keep track of, and once again, you can, however you journal or your diary or whatever, but keep track of what God's been doing in your heart. And then just let the Lord work in your heart. Maybe you guys already have it figured out. Maybe this is foolishness to some people. But at the same time, I remember the first time I was challenged to do it, and I kept a time. And once again, time isn't the important thing, but it does reveal about where our priorities are at. And one of the times I kept track of the things that I did for what we would consider entertainment too, whether it's TV or whether it's spending time with friends, nothing wrong with that, playing games with your family. My family likes to play games. They're a little bit more competitive than I am, but all those things, even good things, can kind of creep in, and keeping track of all those things that are not spiritual disciplines. And once again, it's not about us being disciplined. It's about us being godly. And when we're godly, we're going to be disciplined. Sometimes people say, I got to force myself to focus in and do this more. No, as I get closer to God, I'm going to want to do it more. And these are not going to be things that become, as I grow closer to God, I'm going to become more disciplined as a Christian. So what are we doing in Luke chapter number 3? This is the example that the gentleman gave that night. I want to share some things with you. It's not his sermon exactly, because it's not even online yet, and I didn't take notes that night like I should have. But there are some different things that I was encouraged with, and there's some different things here that I think can be an encouragement and help with you. If we set aside 40 days to seek the Lord, I wonder how much it could help us. Sometimes we don't take stock or inventory of spiritual disciplines. And I'd be amazed how some people feel like I'm right with the Lord, but when you turn around and you look at how much time I spend in His Word and spend time praying with Him daily, it will remind us God can speak to our hearts and say, hey, I don't really have priority in your life. What did Jesus say? He says He ordained 12 that they should be with Him and that He might send them forth to preach. It's the idea of spending time with Him first. And so we'll look a little bit more. Let's jump in here, Luke chapter number 3. We're starting off in Luke chapter number 3. Look at what it says in verse number 21. Luke 3:21, the Bible says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost descended into in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him. And voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, and Thee am I well pleased. And Jesus Himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as we suppose, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. So we see here the baptism of Jesus, the beginning of His ministry, and which is a really great thing. You know, He spent those 30 years, house of Jacob, probably as a craftsman, learning what Joseph did as a trade, and He's now going ready to go into the ministry, and He's getting ready to declare Himself into the ministry. He goes to get baptized. It's a great thing. It is a revelation of God saying whom He's well pleased. Most of us know the dove, the Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. It's a spiritual highlight. It's a high. It's the beginning of the ministry. We would think that Jesus here is now doing and getting ready to proceed out into His ministry and do something really well. When I think about this, is I think about when sometimes we're on a spiritual high. And we're living for the Lord, maybe after camp, maybe after a revival, maybe after a time of seeking the Lord. We know God's with us. We know we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that we're serving the Lord. And then it says, chapter 4, verse number 1. Now, the next thing you have here is the genealogy, which is just, I think it's wonderful. It's great that it's there because that's where God wanted it to be. But you see chapter number 4 and verse number 1, it uses the word and. Now, what are they referring to and? They're talking about Jesus and His ministry. After the baptism, we have and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is what's key here is in verse number 1, it says that He's full of the Holy Ghost. Now, you go to verse number 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And you say, here's what we're getting at is at the beginning of the 40 days, when things were really good and things were really great, Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost. 40 days of temptation, guess what? He's still filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And then you go down and you keep on reading and look at what it says in verse number 18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. So we go from a highlight of Jesus' life, which is baptism, and God saying and revealing to everyone that was there, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased, to 40 days of temptation after He says He's filled with the Holy Spirit of God, 40 days tempted, and then after the 40 days, He's still going in the Spirit of God. And even there, after His first message, He says, you know, I am anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. He has God's power on His life. Now, I know He's Jesus, I know He's God, and I know that He never did anything wrong, and He was always going in the Spirit of the God. But I want to try to challenge you is that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that after 40 days of the temptation and the devil trying to knock you down, are you still going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God after 40 days? Are you still going to be going into power of the Holy Spirit? And that was the encouragement to the young people. You know, when you get home, you're excited, you're pumped up, you're living for the Lord. And then now, what's it going to be like 40 days later? So I want to encourage you when we think about this, and you say, hey, well, you know what? I'm doing well with the Lord. My walk is right with God. Everything's good. I'm beginning these 40 days filled with the Spirit of God. And then at the end of the 40 days, what's it going to be like? Because just because you're filled on day one doesn't mean that day 40 is going to be the same thing. So it's the idea of building up a discipline in your life and building up something that can encourage you in your walk. And if you record and if you're honest with things and honest with yourself and honest with the Lord, you can help teach yourself the importance of strengthening your walk by being faithful in your Bible reading and your praying. Let's go ahead and look at this a little bit about how the devil trying to attack Jesus or tempt Jesus. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, verse number one, excuse me, chapter number four, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So we see that the Holy Spirit of God leads Jesus into the wilderness. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead us to a place where we're going to face temptation. He's not the one that tempts us, but it's something that is going to happen when you're living for the Lord and you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Guess what's going to happen? The devil is going to come and try to tempt you. It says, verse number two, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Now, some people feel like that there's three different challenges that are here and that in 40 days he got tempted three different times. In my mind, it was much more than just the three times. We had the three times that had been recognized. That gives us the lust of the flesh, the lust of the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. But at the same time, I think he was tempted many times in that time period. Now, remember what a temptation is. A temptation is an enticement to fulfill a God-given drive in a God-forbidden way. So he comes to the Lord and he tries to fulfill the God-given drive, but he tries to do it in a way that would not please the Lord. For 40 days he's tempted of the devil, it says in verse number 2. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. He was hungry. It shows how much he was man, just as he was God. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. Now, once again, the devil comes to him and he gives him something reasonable. He says, hey, look, you're hungry. Why don't you eat this? Take this stone, make it bread, and you can eat it. And he's coming to entice him to fulfill a God-given drive, which is one for hunger, which is one for food. But he wants you to step outside of God's will and God's plan for him. And he wanted Jesus to use his power for something that was going to benefit himself. And that's not the reason why he was there. And he responds to him with the word of God. It says, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So he responds to the temptation by giving him the word of God. Keep on going, verse number 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And then the Bible says, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee in the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and that whomsoever I will, I give it. And then it turns around and he says, if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. So here he's saying, look, if you will worship me, and once again, someday Jesus is going to reign, right? This is a God-given, this is something he was destined to do. And the devil's coming to him and says, I can let you reign now. You don't have to worry about the cross. You don't have to worry about all these things. I can give you what you're looking forward to doing someday if you will just worship me. Once again, he's taking something that belonged to him and was trying to give it to him in the wrong way. Same thing that God, the devil, does to us. He tries to tempt us and he tries to say, okay, this is something that God said you can have. This is something that's in the plan for you. Now, here, do it my way. Be careful. How does Jesus respond? And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So he, once again, he can trust the Lord. The Lord's going to take care of him. He knew the Lord was going to take care of his food. He knew that the Lord was going to someday, God had a plan for his life, and he did not have to give in doing it the devil's way. Let's keep on going. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, the devil here is kind of taking scripture and misquoting it, and he's deceiving him, and he's asking the Lord, hey, do something that's supernatural, do something that's going to show off. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him. And those next two words are three words, for a season. So he left him for a period of time, but he was coming back. I say, Pastor, what does this have to do with anything? That if you decide to take the challenge, you decide to begin to write things in there and try to keep a record of what your daily walk with God looks like, so you can ask the Lord as you look over the 40 days what God's been speaking to your heart about, what God's been asking you to do, and your responses to those things, and whether or not you accomplish those things, temptation's going to come. The devil's going to come along, and he's going to come to try to convince you that what is being done is something that you don't need to do. He's going to try to tell you that you don't need to read your Bible, you don't need to pray. He's going to try to tell you you don't need to respond to God working in your heart, which is one of the bigger things, I think, is that you sit and you listen with the anticipation that God is actually going to speak to you. The anticipation that when I'm reading my Bible and praying that God's got something for me to do today. He does. And he does speak to our hearts when we allow him to. He does speak to our hearts and has a plan and a purpose for your life if you give him the opportunity to speak to your heart by being free and clean of sin and leading you and directing you. Sometimes we want the big things. We want the picture shown all the way, but he shows us in little things. So how do we do this? We remember that the devil is a liar, and the devil is going to try to tempt us and try to fool us with things that seem legitimate, seem reasonable, and seem like it's part of God's plan, but he's going to ask you to go outside of God's will to do those things. We have to learn how to fight, but we don't fight the way that the world would fight, but instead we fight the way that the Holy Spirit would teach us through the Word of God and through the Bible. Let's keep on reading here and see, and it says in verse number 14, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about." So he leaves full of the Holy Spirit. There's a fame about him from what happened at the baptism, and then he goes and he delivers his first message. So what is the whole purpose of this? The whole purpose is to learn that we need to spend time alone with God. We need to get close to God. Now, I heard a message this past week, and one of the things that I try to do is I try to listen to a sermon a day or read a sermon a day just because my soul needs it. I need preaching all the time. And I heard a message, I think it was probably sometime in the last week, from a guy who was talking about what it means to be adopted. He was getting ready to adopt two little girls and talked about being the adoption of sons, like it talks about in Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might have received the adoption of sons. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And he said that, you know, how do you look at yourself and your relationship with God? He was talking about, hey, we're not some second-rate citizen, and even though we're supposed to be servants of the Lord, adoption is not talking about being a slave, it's talking about being a son. And as a child of God, we have a relationship with God, and even speaks about how we can call him Abba Father. And that our relationship with him, as we draw closer to him, and as we draw closer to him, we become closer to our relationship with God the Father. So how do you look at your relationship with God? Are you some type of slave? Are you some type of, I have to serve because he's master and Lord? And yes, he is master and Lord. And as a slave, we feel like he's master and I have to serve him because he's master. But as a child, we serve him because we love him and we see he's our father. Because he loves us, we love him. So how do you view that? So when we're considering and talking about spending 40 days seeking more and spending more time with the Lord, let's think about some of the promises he gives us. He tells us in his word, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalms 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now, so is it time that we seek the Lord? Is it time that we spend more time with God? I think it's good if we take certain seasons, certain days, certain weeks, certain months, and consecrate our effort and concentrate our petitions and seek God at a greater rate. I remember, I don't know how many years ago, if it was last spring or the spring before that, we did our 40-day challenge of drawing out the nets or casting out the nets. And a number of you talked about how you enjoyed going through those devotions every single day. And hopefully they were a help and a blessing to you. But I wonder how many of us still do that today. I would even wonder with the few teenagers that we had last week that if they made the challenge of the 40 days, if they've even started their first 5 days really well. And once again, that's personal. That's between them and God. But I know how easy it is to make a commitment, and then later on the devil starts tempting you and trying to convince you and trying to fool you and trying to get you off of what God's spoken to you about your heart. So here's a couple things before we get done. Is this for everyone? No, it's between you and the Lord. But God laid it upon my heart as your pastor to tell you to think about it and pray about it. Some people are so hard-hearted, they would never consider doing anything different than what they normally do. Some people would be like, oh, that's stupid. You know, they would be interested in knowing what's going on, but to really do something like that would be something that they would just put out of their mind. So I'm not telling you you have to do it. I'm not telling you to put it out of your mind. I'm telling you to prayerfully consider it. There's enough notebooks back there for all teenagers and adults, to my knowledge. But if you don't plan on using it, just leave it there. No one's going to be keeping track of who takes it and who doesn't take it. If you want to take it, you're welcome to and use it, even prayerfully consider it. We have some books in the back, and some of them are devotional books. They give you a devotion a day. This is a good challenge to use. There's like 8 or 9 of these back there. These are mine that I give out to other people. So I'd like to have them back when you're done with them. This one's called Revival Today. It has 365 challenging devotions from revival history. It talks about different things that happen on certain days, about great things that God did in individuals' lives. It's a really cool one. My wife's going to be back there, so if you take one of the books, she's going to write the name down so we know who to come get it from if you don't bring it back. But you take it, keep it as long as you want, and if you come to me and say, hey, Pastor, it was a blessing to me, I passed it along to somebody else, I wouldn't even hate you for doing that, because I know it's getting good use instead of collecting dust up in my office. But at the same time, these are things that we like to be able to pass along. Some of them are written by different people, and I think they're all things that would be an encouragement and a blessing and help to you. That could be part of your time alone with the Lord, especially for people that when they read their Bibles, they're like, I don't really get that much out of it. Things like this can help get a start in your fire and start there. If you struggle with understanding, pick one book, pick one chapter, and read that for 40 days. Reading Psalms 119 for the next 40 days, you say, Pastor, that's the biggest one. And reading Psalms 119 for 40 days, it'd probably take you about 18 to 20 minutes to read that psalm. But I think it would bless your heart if you read that for the next 40 days, because it talks about the Word of God, it talks about the importance of the Word of God, and it's something that's really, really a powerful chapter of the Bible. So what are you telling me, Pastor? I'm telling you that I think you should let the Lord lead you. Maybe for some of us, maybe I need to learn how to pray with my family. Maybe I should go home and start having some family devotions. Maybe some of it is I need to learn how to pray with my husband or my wife and spend time with my... Because it's not just with the Lord, and God's given us influence over families. That could be something, because maybe your devotion time's great right now. Maybe you're not like most nominal Christians that struggle each morning to get up at a certain time to be able to spend time alone with the Lord. Maybe you have that all figured out. God has something that he wants you to learn and grow in the next 40 days. And as you're looking at that and as you're considering it, and as you're writing these things down, you can see if, hey, God asked me to do this today, and I did it. I responded. God asked me to do something, I didn't do it. And you can, once again, this is personal stuff, not stuff you're supposed to be reading your mates or reading your, the people that live in your house with you. This is something between you and the Lord. As a parent, I think it's something great you can do with your children and encourage them. When I've done things like this before, there's things I have stopped doing in order to be closer to the Lord. Sometimes this means giving up certain TV or sports or certain things that are enjoyment to spend extra time alone with the Lord, to spend extra time to be getting up and giving up a meal here or there, or giving up and fasting and things like that. Obviously, I'm not encouraging any of you to fast for 40 days. Few people did that in the Bible under God's instruction, more power to them. But I'm not saying you should do that. But I do think that if you open with the Lord and ask him what you want him to do in the next 40 days, that God can change your life. You say, Pastor, do you know how busy it is between now and the next 40 days? I do. I told somebody last week, or a friend that I know from the college that was there, I says, it's probably the busiest summer of my life. From the different teenage trips, trying to find an assistant pastor to possibly purchasing a house and all those different things, trying to do junior camp here at the church, all those different things. I didn't say that to try to make people feel bad. He gets asked, how can you pray for us? But when I told the Lord that, he says, you know, if you're too busy to pray, that means you're really so busy that you really need to pray more. You know, if you think you're too busy to pray, that is a perfect example of the fact and the reason why you need to pray more is because you have more things going on in your life and you need to learn how to be more disciplined on those things that really matter. The Lord is nigh to him that are of a broken heart, and save it such that as it be of a contrite spirit. Pride is something that will stop. Pride is something that will stop you from hearing from God. When we turn around and say, I don't have to do anything, I don't change it, I'm good with my walk with God, and we're so prideful, everybody else sees it, everybody else knows that we could work on some things and rough off some, take some edges away. We all need to grow in our walk with God. If we went with God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, I'm not like you are yet. I want to be more like you. Lord, show me and teach me the things. But what are we? We're so good at saying, it's just the way I am. I can't change. You know how many times I hear that? Makes me want to strangle somebody. You can change. That's what the Holy Spirit of God teaches you, is that, you know, stop saying it's just the way I am. Stop saying this is how I feel. Instead, ask God to show you what you should be. And then let him work on your heart and talk to your heart and speak to your heart. In the back of your notebook, there is a list of verses that are there, put there for meditation or memorization, and it gives you subtitles, so that way if there's something you struggle with, there's a certain sin that you struggle with, take those verses and memorize those verses, meditate on those verses, give the Holy Spirit of God more work for you to do in your heart and spirit. And as the weeks go along in the next 40 days, we're going to talk a little bit about it on Wednesday nights, a little bit here or there. We might throw something else in there as the Lord leads. But this is how we're going to start it. And I want to encourage you, consider it. Pray about it. Take it home and think about it. If you're not sure, you can just bring it back. No one, like I said, is going to keep track of anything except for the people that take the books, because we do want those back. And think about Jesus. He went from the baptism, the high spot, 40 days. He went in the Spirit 40 days. He was tempted to God, and he left being in the Spirit. And that's our goal. I want to be right with God today. As I leave this place, I want to be right. And then for the next 40 days, I want to continue on being right. So that way, I can be ready to serve the Lord. As we were driving away, we were asking the teenagers what they like about the conference, didn't like about the conference, and things like that. And one of them said, and something about, it takes X number of days to form a habit. And that was less than the 40 days. You know, there's a certain number of days to start something, and you do this for a certain number of days, you do this for a certain number of days, it becomes a habit. And they said it's less than 40 days, so if we actually start seeking the Lord in these 40 days, by the end of the 40 days, it's going to be a habit. And then we will continue on seeking the Lord. Hopefully that's the case. And we'll spend this time seeking the Lord, and we won't want to stop. Do I think that you pray? I certainly hope you do. Do I think you read your Bibles? I certainly hope you do. Do I know that what the flesh is like? I do. Do I know the devil tries to stop you from those things? Yes. Do I know that we need encouragement? I think so. I know I have before the past. And the first time someone challenged me with this, they were like, I was like, nah. But when I began doing it, it revealed myself to me. Actually, God revealed it to me, that where my priority was. Now, I've given this thought process to other people before in the past, and some of the most, what I would consider spiritual people I know, they're like, ah, it was too hard for them. I'm not saying that they could, or because you should follow whatever the Lord wants them to do, but when you begin writing things down and looking at how much you're face-to-face with the reality, this is what God means to me. This is how much effort I put in my relationship with God. Because if I don't put the effort in, I'm never going to know him. You know, when your children, how well you know them is how much you spend time with them and how much you love them and how much they respond to you and you respond to them. God's the same way. As you get to know him, you draw nigh to him. What does he say? He'll draw nigh to you too. So let's go ahead and stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.